Sweet to rejoice in lively hope that when my chains shall fall, angels shall gather round my bed and wrap my spirit home. We are passing away. We are passing away.
Those points were points of truth. The Lord's love is not something that we by nature seek. It is certainly not something that we by nature deserve. And the Lord's love is sovereign. He'll love whom He will, and it's everlasting. If the Lord ever loved you, He'll always love you. That's comforting to a sinner that's able to see himself as stumbling from time to time. And I appreciate the points that have been made. And this morning my mind is drawn to the 10th chapter of the book of John, where Brother Brad quoted from earlier. And there's one verse of Scripture that, if the Lord would be with us this morning, I'd like to expound upon. And it's verse 11 of John chapter 10, where the Scripture says, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I don't know if it's my upbringing that I had on a farm, or why the reason is that I appreciate so much the analogy that's given in the Word of God of the relationship between the Lord and His children as a shepherd and sheep. But the analogy that's given in the Word of God of a shepherd and a sheep is near and dear to me. I find it to find a sweet spot of rest in my heart, because I can relate to it so well. And you know, if the Lord will be with us this morning, even if you've never stepped foot in a pasture before, if you've never opened a sack of feed, if you've never rode through a grazing herd of cattle in your life, If the Lord will be with me this morning, I'd like to point out some of the aspects of the Lord as our shepherd. And pray that in doing so that you'll be able to feel as one of the Lord's little sheep. You know, the Scriptures define our Lord Jesus Christ in many different ways. It tells us that he's many different things to many different people. As the analogy would go in our workplaces, and we've all probably heard this, that somebody that does a lot of things wears a lot of different hats. We've all heard that title before. He's somebody that can sweep the floors. He's somebody that can mail out the letters if he needs to, type them up, put them in an envelope. He's somebody that can write them if he needs to. He's somebody that if you're called upon in a managerial position to go and to be over certain people, they can do all of those jobs. And they're a person that wears many different hats. Well, our Lord is somebody that wears a lot of different hats in the Word of God. He is to a lot of people different things. And one of the things that he is to his sheep is he is their shepherd. The Scripture says that the Lord himself defines himself, I am the good shepherd. And if the Lord has ever defined himself as being something, let us rest comfortably in it being true. That if the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd, let us realize and recognize that he is the good shepherd. Says a few verses up from that, he says, I am the door. You know, a lot of people read through the 10th chapter of the book of John and they say, I don't really know what he's trying to show us here about this door. He's showing you that he is a door. And that just as you enter in and go out of doors in this world and walk out of a room and into another, so are you and I able to walk through and spend time and graze in the pastures of the Lord Jesus Christ by going through the door and entering into fellowship with him. And praise be unto the Lord that that's not an analogy of eternal salvation, because he tells us plainly that they shall go out and come in. You know, you and I don't go out and come in of our eternal home in heaven. Once the Lord has called us through that gate, you and I are through it. We ain't going back out of it. But you and I have to go out in this world and go and mingle with this world. And we have to go into it. But praise be unto the Lord that we can also walk back out of it and into fellowship with our Lord and enjoy some sweet time with him. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, the psalmist David said over in the 23rd Psalm, one of my favorite places in the Scripture, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, one of the attributes of a shepherd is that he provides for his sheep. He makes sure that their provisions are taken care of. And that's the reason why the psalmist David can declare with confidence. He said, I shall not want. And why is it that he shall not be a want? It's because the one that is watching over and keeping him is one that has all the riches of the storehouses of this world that can give him exactly what he needs. He can provide for him. And a shepherd can provide for his sheep. He makes sure that they're provided for. You know, I can remember growing up on the farm that a lot of days whenever other people got to go and got to enjoy things and got to go play ball and things like that and got to go hang out in a restaurant, I can remember loading up and my daddy saying, come on, we got to go tend to the calves. Why? Because it didn't matter whether or not it was Sunday afternoon. We went to church on Sunday morning. But you know, they had to be tended to sometimes on Sunday afternoon because that's the day that it was going to fall that they were going to run out of feed. And if you put the feed in there too early the day before, then you'll mess up their feeding cycle. You see, they were dependent upon a certain cycle. There were times that they needed to be fed whenever everybody else was doing things. I remember one Christmas day, you know, we got done with the morning Christmas routine that everybody has. We got done with lunch. And I just knew that which came after most of the time, which was going to be recreation, that we were going to get to go hunting. Matter of fact, I even had on my camouflage, Brother Lloyd. I had it on. I was decked out. I was ready to go. But I remember just as sure as the world, as my daddy scooted back from that table, he said, boys, let's go. We got to go to the farm. We got cows to take care of. And I remember thinking, what in the world? What in the world can somebody, can enter into somebody's mind to think that you've got to go to work on Christmas afternoon? Well, I tell you, there were sheep, there was cattle that had to be tended to. They had to be provided for by the one that was their overseer. They had to be given that which was necessary for their nourishment. And you and I, little lamb of God today, each and every one of us should see ourselves as being in necessity and need that the Lord would provide for you and I spiritually and naturally. And God, the Word of Almighty God tells us that the Lord does that for us as His sheep. The Scripture says over in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah,
In the 11th verse, the scripture says, he shall feed his lambs. The Lord shall feed his lambs as a shepherd does his sheep. He shall feed his lambs. He shall give them that which they need. And that's what we are even when we gather at the house of God. We're here to partake and to be fed the spiritual things of God, to have the Lord feed us. To have the Lord feed us. You know, the pastor is not the one doing it. The pastor is the one that may prepare the meal. But the Lord God Almighty is the one that gave the ingredients. He's the one that prepares the menu. He's the one that declares that which is going to be fed that day. And it's us that get to feed from the bountiful table of the Almighty God of heaven. I am the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He provides nourishment to his sheep. You know, the Apostle Paul said over in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, you'll remember the context of it, that he called the elders from the church at Ephesus to Miletus to come and to talk to him. It was his last parting tour through there that he was going to leave them some parting words. You know, if you've ever thought to do a study through the Word of God and you've never done it, well, let me give you a good topic to go and to learn and to read about through the Word of God. Read the parting words of patriarchs in the Scriptures. There's a lot of learning there. Because what they do is as they're departing from this place, headed to another place, they make sure you know what's important. You know, it doesn't mean that they don't try to cover the gamut and tell you about everything. They make sure you know what's important. Whenever you read what Jacob told his sons, whenever he was gathered there, when he called them, he made sure they knew what was important. Whenever Joshua was departing, he made sure they knew what was important. When Moses was about to depart this place, he made sure they knew what was important. The Apostle Paul did too. And he made sure that those elders who he called, notice they were from one church, but there was a multitude, or not a multitude, there were many elders, one church. You know, I didn't mean to get that piece of ice in my mouth. I'm sorry about that. As we read through the scriptures, we see that the churches only have one pastor, but at times they had more than one ordained elder in their congregation. He called for the elders from Ephesus. And they came to him, and he told them, he said, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock of God, which the Lord hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Therefore he told them and reminded them they have a responsibility that by the almighty gracious hand of God, that you feed the flock of God just as a shepherd provides for his sheep. You give them the nourishment that they need. The prophet Jeremiah declared and cried and said that according to the word of the Almighty God, that I shall give them pastors according to mine own heart. And they shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. You know, whenever we gather at the house of God, it's a lot like whenever you're seated at your own table at your house to eat. You know, I don't know about you, but even though whenever we've had a little one in our midst, I mean a real little, when you say, Brother Will, yours still kind of little, I'm talking real little. I'm talking Baby Rhett little. You know, I'm talking in just a few months little. And we all still seat at the same table, even though we all don't all eat the same thing a lot of times. You know, a baby is not going to eat the same thing that all the adults eat, but he's still there at the table with us. And you know, here at the house of the living God, when we feed upon the spiritual things that God would have us to feast upon, that God would have us hear, that God would have us to be nourished by, we don't always feed on the same things from the little all the way to the old, but we're all still at the same table. We're all still seated there together, and we're seated there together. You know, that shows order at the house of God. You know, I went to a place one time, and I'm not going to tell you where it is, even if you ask me where it is. But you know, during the song service, there was a family back there that they had trouble with controlling the children. And there was children all up here where I'm standing now, crossing over, going around the sides and everything else. They were running around all over the place. And I thought to myself, I wonder if this is what goes on in that man's house, or if he has order around his own table. If he makes sure that they're all seated and that they're all there and that there's order there. Well, the same thing goes at the house of God. We're all seated here together. And the master of ceremonies is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's prepared the menu. He's telling us to feed and to be nourished, just as a good shepherd takes care of his sheep to be fed from the things of God. And that's what we've gathered here to do at the house of the living God. He makes sure that his sheep have the provisions that they need. He makes sure that not only as a shepherd that they have the necessary meals that they need. He makes sure that they're protected in a way that they need to be protected. You know, the Psalmist David, another verse in Psalms 23, said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfortest me." They comfortest me. You know, in other words, it tells us that as the Lord needs to, He'll not only use that rod for the correction of the sheep. And Lord knows I could give you some good stories of some calf corrections that I've seen growing up. I can remember one time I couldn't have been any older than 5 or 6. And you know, I remember whenever we were moving some cows down the road that my daddy took a stick in his hand, probably about this long and about this big around. And I remember thinking, why is he grabbing that? You know, I've seen him move cows before. I've seen him just follow him right wherever he's going. But about 100 yards away from me, I saw why he had it. Because he had an ornery old bull that he went to town on with that stick. Now, I'm not saying the town that I saw him do is something that a shepherd ought to do to a sheep. Now, you better recognize the difference there. But nevertheless, there was a reason why it was there. It was not only there for correction. It was there to ward off any trouble that would come into the flock and cause them trouble. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ blessed the Apostle Paul also in the same context of Acts chapter 20 to tell him this, "For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And in other words, there's a reason why you have a pastor, there's a reason why you have a shepherd, there's a reason why we trust in the Lord, and that is that He would protect us in a way in which a shepherd protects his flock. You know, you'll remember whenever David came there, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and he came and he was offended that this uncircumcised Philistine would defy the armies of the living God. Here's a bold little ruddy character who's just been anointed the king and has already been set aside by Samuel. Here he comes to carry the meals that his father has sent to his older brothers that are at war. And whenever he goes forth to say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God?" Every one of them, including Saul too, looked at him and said, "You're not. Who are you to come and say that you're going to stand up against this Philistine?" But I tell you, he tells him a story about what he did for his father's flocks one time. He said, did I not take care of my father's flocks? And did I not, you know, he slew a lion and a bear. You think about that for just a second. A lion and a bear. You know, in the Bible's days, it wasn't such a big crime to slay a lion. You know, does that ring a bell with anybody that's been watching this week and has seen just the biggest outcry you've ever seen in your life over the slaying of a lion? Now, I'm not saying that we ought to just abuse God's creation. The scripture tells us that, you know, that blessed is the man that hath high regard for his beast. That means specifically just offending an animal is not something that God sees, finds pleasure in. But you know, there comes a time when it's just time to find a cause. You hear me? there's a time whenever it's time to recognize that there's some causes worth standing for, and there's some that just don't matter that much. It just doesn't matter that much. You know, but you know, here you see that the young shepherd David, even as a shepherd in his own right, was one that protected his father's flocks. He was one that was willing to go and to go forth face to face with a lion and with a bear for the protection of the flock of God. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The Lord is our shepherd, and He protects us. He watches over us. He keeps us," just as the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, that I just quoted from. The scripture says that He gathereth up the lambs in His arms, and He protects them, and He holds them in His bosom. He holds them there for the purpose of protection and watching over His little sheep. I tell you, there's been times that I've faced trials in my life, and I've faced battles, that there's no way in this world that if I told you the account of them as I stand before you this morning, there's no way that I, and by my natural way, could have overcome those trials and things that I had to stand for here in this world. But I tell you, because I had a Lord that watched over me and protected me in the midst of them, I was blessed to be able to come through them. I was blessed to be able to overcome the trial. I was blessed, if you don't mind me using the term, I was blessed to be able to persevere here in this world. And you know the context of which I said that. And it was because my Lord protected me. It's because my Lord watched over me. You know, I told my daddy yesterday whenever we pulled back in our driveway at 4 o'clock after we had been in Florida all week since last Sunday night. We've been in Florida. Been all the way across Florida. Tallahassee to Lake City all the way over to St. Augustine. And if there's a place that, unless I shouldn't say I never will, because you never know how the Lord may do things. But he said the Lord do a marvelous work on this old boy. I ain't lost nothing in Florida. Now I'm just going to tell you, the threat of the alligator is enough. you never know where you're going to see one down there. But there's a bunch of sand. There's heat. And I'm going to tell you, if you think that there's a bunch of roughnecks up here in Northwest Georgia, you go down there to Central Florida and you'll find that there's a whole bunch of them down there. But nevertheless, I told my dad as I pulled up in the driveway, is look at how God has watched over me and my family. I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning. I loaded a family at 7 o'clock and I drove 500 miles back to my home. And I'm at my driveway at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Look at how the Lord has protected me. And you know, sometimes we take that for granted. We crawl in our cars and we crank them up and here we go a lot of times, and we don't even offer prayers for the Lord to give us the traveling grace that we need to go from point A to point B. You know, most of the time that you look at the statistics of people's wrecks that end up taking their lives, a lot of times it's not the ones of those long trips, it's the little short trips that they take for granted. It's the ones that those of us parents, a lot of times we don't buckle up the kids on, because here we are, we're just going right down the road. We're just going just a short distance. But I tell you, we stand in need of the protective care of our God Almighty on the short ones just as much as we do the long ones. And I tell you, I am the good shepherd. Our Lord protects us and watches over us to keep us from the conflicts of this world overcoming us. He doesn't tell us that we won't have them. He doesn't tell us that we won't have them. But praise be unto the Lord that we've got a shepherd that's going to watch over us. In the midst of them, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, I see not only that the Lord provides for the sheep and that the Lord protects his sheep. I see that the Lord throughout the scriptures is aware of the state of his flock. He's aware of the well-being of his sheep. You know, the verse that Brother Brad quoted a little bit earlier, this further down in John chapter 10, says that my sheep hear my voice. And the next phrase says, and I know them. You know what a marvelous statement that is? Whenever you read of the multitude of the family of God and how big the family of God is, it shows you just how big God is, because it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. You know, the scripture tells us over in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation that it's a number which no man can know. You know, there's a group of people in this world that think that they can chronicle the family of God and tell you how many that there's going to be in heaven. Well, I tell you, they're not reading what John said. It says, no man can, I saw a multitude which no man can know. You know, we can number our small little flocks here at our local assemblies. People ask me from time to time what they are. I can't remember off the top of my head a lot of times. I like for it to keep a revolving door enough where you can't keep the number steady on the end of your mind. You know, it'd be a good thing if we added a few and then you had to forget what the number was because you had some new ones come in and you couldn't remember the number that you had. You make a number your own small little flock, but the scripture says that the family of God is one that no man can know. And yet we read that not only that the Lord, it doesn't say that the Lord can't number them, it says that no man can number them. And yet we read that the scripture says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. He knows every one of them. And not only that, it says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, that the very hairs of your head are numbered. Boy, I tell you what, that's another marvelous. That's something to think about right there. You know, I couldn't even give you a guesstimate of the number on my head right now. Now, I wouldn't even know according to just standard anatomy, how many hairs are on the average man's head. You know, I couldn't give you a number, but I tell you, my Lord in heaven, not only he knows every one of his sheep, he knows the state of every single one of them. He is the one that watches us. He knows everything. He knows how well they are. He knows how good your spiritual condition is today. He knows the spiritual health of the flock in which you dwell. He knows how well off you are right now. He knows whether or not you're going in the right direction or whether or not you're headed somewhere where you shouldn't go. He knows the affairs of his flock. He knows what they stand in need of. And I want to tell you, if we're careful to recognize that God Almighty knows what you need, then we'd be mindful to listen to what he's telling us so that we'll know how to go in the way in which he wants us to go. He's one that's aware of the state of his flocks. You know, any farmer will tell you when his flock is healthy and when they're in malnourishment. You know, I pulled into my driveway yesterday after being gone and I could tell it hadn't rained. It ain't rained up here. Unless it's rained, it may have been some spotty showers. But I was disappointed to see the brown haze that was over the that was over the yard. I could tell it hadn't rained. And you know, any farmer can tell you whenever the heavens have dried up. You know, the flocks begin to, first thing you'll notice is that most of the grass around your watering holes will begin to just completely be gone. You'll have bare dirt there because they're not going to leave that watering hole very far and go far away because they're going to stay right next to where that water is. They're not going to go far away from it. They're going to stay right there by it because there hadn't been rain on it. That's the first thing you're going to see. And then even whenever you begin to see the watering hole dry up, just a little mud puddle, then you begin to hear the bellowing. You begin to hear them starting to beller for the green grass and for the rain. Any farmer can see the well-being of his flock, and the Lord God knows the well-being of every single one of his sheep. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is one that not only provides for us, is not only one that's protecting us, not only one that knows our state. His very existence is for the benefit of you and I. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, I believe with every ounce of my being that he's referencing there that I'm going to go, and because he says a few verses down about the life that he's going to give up. I have the power to give it up. I have the power to take it up again. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. He's telling us about the sacrifice that he's going to make on the cross. But you know, the scripture also references the Lord Jesus Christ as being one that is alive now. You know, there is one God and one mediator between God and men. You know, there's a difference there. You hear it quoted often. Let me say it again. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You know, the reason why that doesn't say there's one mediator between God and man is because he's not a mediator for all of mankind. You see, it's a specific group of men that he's a mediator for. There's a difference between those two words. Every letter in the King James translation is there for a purpose. There's not any of it that's there by accident. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And he's alive. And as the scripture says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's on the right hand of God today. And he's there for your and I benefit to be able to pray unto, so that we have somebody that we can speak to and has a direct contact with God the Father. He's there because he gave his life for the sheep. He not only gave it on the cross at Calvary, he gives it every day, day by day, so that you and I can have somebody that watches over us, keeps us, hears our prayers, that we can speak to one-on-one. You know, I appreciate so much, again, the analogy of a shepherd and his sheep. You know, I agree also whenever we see how the Lord is with us and how the Lord is our shepherd. You know, the psalmist David, I quoted this verse a while ago, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I appreciate also not only seeing it in a group context, but seeing it in an individual context, that he's my individual shepherd. You know, that's something to think about too. He thinks enough of you that he not only sees you as part of a group, he sees you as an individual among the group. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He provides for us. He gives us and feeds us here with the things that we need in this world. He protects us from the satanic influences that can overcome us in this world. He is one that as well lives on the right hand of God to watch over us and to keep us in our daily walk with him. May the Lord bless us to be able to see him as our shepherd and to look to him with the respect that a sheep has for somebody that oversees him and that has their best interests in heart with all that he does. You know, I appreciate the words that Brother Brad has brought forth this morning and given us those descriptions of the love of God. That's exactly the way that I believe it. I believe that that the Lord has blessed us with a marvelous truth to be able to have a proper perspective of the love of God. And if there's anyone here today that shares those beliefs, and if you believe those things that have been preached today, then you have a home here in this world And it's not part of this world. It's not of this world. It's separate from this world. But it's here in this time world where you can come and you can be a part of people that just as you do, believe those truths that are contained in God's Word, that display and that are given to us and teach us a proper perspective of God Almighty. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Songs of sublime adoration embrace, ye pilgrims for Zion who press, pray for them his soul, a great ancient of age, his rich and distinguishing grace, his love from eternity fixed upon me. Sure we